Welcome to the Neo-Narcissism Podcast, hosted by emotional intelligence specialists Kim and Jackie of Element Q, alongside strategic psychotherapist Brad Kaufman.
Welcome everyone to the Neo-Narcissism Podcast. We're really happy to have you back and joining us for this episode today. We are going to talk the spirit of narcissism. So let's jump right in.
To me, I think this is a really big one. When we talk about spirit of narcissism, a lot of people might think that has a religious connotation to it. And of course, historically, there is a religious connotation, but we could call it collective narcissism, or we could call it the energy of narcissism, or the source of narcissism, or anything like this. But kind of the spirit of narcissism, I think, captures it fairly nicely.
Yeah.
So when we talk about the spirit of narcissism, I think we need to conceptualize it through this framework that narcissists seem to all have the exact same playbook.
They sure do.
Yeah, so it's like a collective unconscious of narcissistic strategies. And I don't think there's any like training course on how to be the best narcissist.
No secret underground school.
Yeah, it just seems they all use very similar things, very similar manipulation practices, right? We talk about gaslighting. We've talked about the deception.
Yes.
That's a huge one, and how they will spin certain things in a certain direction, right? Altering realities.
Altering realities.
Unreasonable.
And I think the using people as resources is part of that spirit of narcissism. And I think that sort of innate entitled feeling fits under that as well.
It creates a lot of division, the spirit of narcissism. It's very much, it holds a lot of weight, whatever side it picks. If you try to stand up against it on the other side, you're like the way that they can spin the information is that you're the villain. For trying to take that other side. Your point of view isn't even discussed. It's not even looked at. It's not even taken into consideration because all the techniques of the narcissism being used are so quick and clever and conniving that, and also too, they have so much strength that everybody will want to be on their side because they don't want to be on the other side.
So you're talking about, sorry, if I'm understanding correctly, but it being this sort of this one track. Right? Like they've made a decision, this is sort of the end goal and how they're going to get to that goal, and just using all of the tools they need to in place to force that to happen.
Well, and like you're talking about, like the word divisive really characterizes this spirit, so to speak. Even if you look back, like there are stories about narcissists that go all the way back, right? Of course, the original story is a fairly ancient story. But when you think of these other stories where people, and I like to call it under the influence, and the research actually supports this too, that that people can be more, can demonstrate more of the narcissistic tendencies in some moments and then not in other moments. So
interesting. This group of narcissism, I get it, like this other sort of energetic motivator is coming into place.
Yes. Very much so. And basically, so, we're going to dive into that further. I want to define it just a little bit more here, but hold on to that, because that is so, how did you say that?
Energetic motivator.
Yeah, energetic motivator. That's so, so good. So the way I see it, though, if we look at narcissism in general, it's a spirit of seduction, which is riddled with deceit and ends up at destruction. So it's seduction to destruction, and that's the cycle of the narcissistic spirit.
Brings you in.
Yeah.
Destroys you.
Yes. Exactly. And really, if we were to look at the spirit for what it is interested only in destruction. It doesn't care about families. It doesn't care about individuals. It doesn't care about communities. It doesn't care about anything. It only cares about destruction.
Yeah.
So that's destroying the person that gives into the spirit. Now, this is where it starts to get really interesting, like you're talking about. Because if it's this energetic motivator, people literally have the ability to resist it or fight it or not give into it. But in like true narcissistic personality disorder and within true neo-narcissism, it's like the people sell fully out to be fully under the influence of. And so we can equate it to an addict who like just fully gives into their addiction. So somebody who's an alcoholic, you know, they can start out with a few drinks, but it's like those few drinks, they just sell out. Like they have no line of stopping and they just jump all the way into that spirit.
Yeah.
Right. And it's interesting. What do you call hard alcohol?
Spirits.
Spirits.
So this seduction to destruction. So when somebody's taken over by the spirit of narcissism, when you're relating it to that addiction, I think that's a really great analogy there, because narcissism is so powerful. There's so you gain so much power when you use those techniques. Not real power, to be clear for our listeners, but sort of a false sense of power.
Yeah, I love that. False sense, but it's still a sense of
when they're feeling so powerless in all these other ways,
yeah,
because they don't need to real power, what real power is. So that spirit sort of starts to tempt them, and they're going to lean right into that, because that's how they gain control, power, manipulation, how they rise up.
So what does the spirit promise them? All those things. I mean, if you're looking at it in terms of the temptation, and you're deciding if going to take on the spirit in that moment, it's just a weird visual, but so it's promising lots and lots of power, likely some form of energetic exchange, some form of, if you're able to take on the seduction, you're going to gain something, some type of relationship and perceived power. And then do you yourself realize you're ultimately going to be destroyed as a narcissist, or is the spirit of narcissism promising you destruction of the other person?
That's great.
We see this kind of dilemma or metaphors play out in movies where it's like, if you sell your soul to the devil, you're going to get all of these certain things, right? Even like something as simple as Star Wars. You know, if you sell yourself to the dark side, you're going to be the most powerful.
Yes.
In that sense. So it is. There's a seduction to them, but ultimately it always ends up in destruction of the one that gives into it. It's no different than alcoholism. Or drug addiction or anything like that. In the end, the alcohol and the drug wins.
Yeah.
And so when we say under the influence, to see them go from this normal human being with this wonderful personality, this wonderful spirit, and then all of a sudden they're just under the influence, they become instantly like a different person at that point, because they sell in so dramatically to the spirit itself.
It's really fascinating that it can, there can be enough information within it to, I can't tell the words, but just in that moment, like you're saying, that you can see it happen that quickly, that subconsciously, that person who then takes on the spirit has gathered enough information knowing how that will affect them that they can choose it in that moment that quickly. Does that make sense?
Well, so now the choice.
If it's a choice.
That's a big discussion, because my work with those that have NPD, as well as those that struggle with addictions as well, initially it is a choice. Initially it's like, are you going to sell your soul to the devil? And there's a choice that sits there. And if selling the soul actually has this positive, you know, reward for it, it's not like they sell the soul, their soul the one time. It's like they're constantly turning their soul over to the influence of the spirit. So if they get rewarded for it, it becomes an automated process. So it's the same thing with addiction.
Yeah.
Like if we say, why don't they just choose to stop? Well, they aren't choosing to. They made a choice initially.
Yeah.
But their body automated that choice, because decision-making power is too exhausting to the system. If something's working, the body's just going to go do that and keep doing that. So then it flies under the radar. So it's not like they're necessarily choosing to do that.
Yeah. It becomes the most efficient use of energy. Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah, well, I like your language on it.
Well, the other thing that was kind of coming up with me, within this, this language that was coming up for me was, it's almost like a parasitic possession.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. That's
yeah.
exactly
because
what it is.
Because that parasite needs to feed.
Yes.
Yeah. And it just sort of takes over the whole of that person.
Mm-hmm. And the research actually shows this. And this is where we've, of course, touched on this a little bit. There's, for our listeners, there's a researcher in our city here who does research around the type of influence that narcissism has. And is it a fixed trait? And does it present itself in the same way all the time? And no, there's varying degrees. Sometimes it's way heightened and intense, and other times it's very subtle. And this is what gets us hooked into these relationships with the narcissist, because we can see the beautiful spirit of that person, the beautiful soul of that person, and we can see all the richness and vibrancy of what that is. But then as soon as they sell themselves over to this influence in this way, then all of a sudden, all of this intensity, you're dealing with a completely different spirit. You're no longer just dealing with this person's, you know, pure soul. You're dealing with, like you're talking about, this, like, possessed character.
This is where the confusion comes in for people, right? Where it gets so messy and you feel so upside down and caught off guard.
Yeah, I think that brings a lot of clarity, what you said, though, that as an empath, that you can see the true essence and true spirit and soul of those people.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, then it becomes really confusing because you're reading that the two pieces of information, you're seeing them for who they truly are, and then it just switches so quickly, and then you're caught completely off guard, and then having that back and forth becomes really confusing.
This is where the hope and truth also comes into play here, because you see that beautiful side of this person, you place all of your hope and want to believe that the truth as well, that that is who they are, and very well could be who they are at the very core and soul of their being. However, if you're focusing only on that, then you're letting hope lead and not truth when you're sort of dismissing the bad behavior as one-offs, right? Or bad day or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And it gets so confusing because sometimes you do see that beautiful soul and they'll be living through the fullness and the purity of what that is in that moment. So it does, you're absolutely right. It raises your hopes to expect that all the time because it seems like they can be reasonable. It seems like you can have a productive interaction with them.
Very loving.
Yeah, very loving. And all of a sudden, though, when that spirit comes along, again, remember the spirit is only interested in destruction and deceit. It starts out as seduction, but destruction and deceit. And so it doesn't matter. That's where we talked previously about you can't reason with the unreasonable. There's that spirit does not care. It doesn't care about your experience, your perspective, or anything else. It only cares about its agenda, its means, and its end.
I was going to ask about your narcissism story, but also too what keeps coming up. And I think we've talked about this in different ways, but a colleague and friend of mine, she always says that Satan was the original narcissist. And then if you look back at the Bible and the story of Adam and Eve, they had everything they wanted in the garden, that they were completely provided for, and their only instruction was don't eat from, was it from the tree? And then the snake comes in, the spirit of narcissism, and says, you know, why don't you have it? Just try it, bite.
There's the seduction.
There's the seduction. Yeah. And it sounded so great and sure, you know, why wouldn't we do this? Like, this sounds so good. And convince yourself and talk to your instincts, and then you have it, and all of a sudden they lost everything. Gone.
Yeah, absolutely everything. So, of course, they eat of the tree of the good and evil.
Yeah.
The knowledge of good and evil. And so here's another kind of addition to that. You're absolutely right. Like, in that story, they have perfect communion with God, perfect relationship with God, and perfect relationship with each other. And they had everything that they needed.
Everything.
They didn't need anything more. But the seduction, so this is what, and in a way, this is what our culture breeds. is this idea that this thing out here is going to give you something that you're missing. But really, there was nothing missing. And as soon as they ate of the tree of good and evil, they realized they lost something, they didn't gain something.
Yeah.
But that's what this spirit does. It's constantly pulling people, trying to seduce people through whatever seduction that may look like. It's not just a sexual seduction, it can be any type of temptation type seduction. And it just steals from our trueness. It steals from our true joy, happiness, peace, all of that that has already been given us, right, in our true nature. Mm-hmm. So it's that influence. Now, if we want to kind of keep going with these stories, the story of Samson. Now, this is one of those other biblical stories. So for those listeners that aren't familiar with it, basically Samson is the strongest man in the land. And so he has these enemies, and these enemies are trying to destroy him. But whatever they do to him, they can't. So basically, he falls in love with this woman down in the valley, who unfortunately gives herself to the seduction of the narcissistic spirit. And she takes on this narcissistic spirit in the form of money. So they said, his enemies go to her, the woman he fell in love with, and said, if you can find out his secret, that we can destroy him, we will pay you. So that was a lot of money. So she's seduced by this money. So anyway, she's playing this narcissistic game with him. And again, I don't think it's a mistake for it to be the strongest man in the land, mm-hmm. on illustrating how powerful this spirit actually is. So she says to him, what's the secret to your strength? If I'm recalling correctly, he says something, well, if I'm bound by these types of ropes or something like that, it saps all of my strength and I'm weak at that point. So he gets bound by these things, by his enemies, because she went back and told them.
Yeah.
But he broke out of them because that wasn't the true story. So now he knows that she betrayed him. She took that knowledge and she did something. However, and we've talked about this before, this is where the story gets really interesting, and this is what the spirit does. It uses love and it uses your virtues against you. So she said, if you truly love me, you will tell me your secret. So as soon as she plays that angle on him and uses his love, which is a pure thing, against him, ultimately, he finally tells her the secret. It's in his long hair. So they cut his hair. They bind him. They poke his eyes out.
Oh.
And all of a sudden, here the spirit takes the strongest guy in the land and makes him super weak. Now, they bind him. His hair grows back. And then the end of the story is basically he collapses a building on everybody, including himself, and just kills everybody. Mm. So it's kind of like a whole destructive story in the end. But that's what the spirit of narcissism wants to do. And it's a really good illustration of what it actually is. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a pretty powerful story.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I mean, really, like, sadly, nobody really wins.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about that.
Yeah.
Nobody wins in the end. Mm-hmm. Nobody.
I think one thing I was going to say that came out of that, that I would say is an important aspect of the spirit of narcissism and seduction is money. That is a really big thing that spirit of narcissism will seduce people through money.
Well, yeah, because money is like the low-lying fruit. And it's like, what does any of that actually matter? But it's seductive. Like, again, the spirit functions because first, they have to give in to the spirit in order for that spirit to influence us through our virtues, right? Because there's no way that that spirit could come up to us and be like, hey, I'll give you power. Who cares, right? I'll give you this $2,500 handbag. So what? For what? So it has to seduce in a way that it can use your virtues and your love against it.
Yeah, so it won't look the same for everybody.
That's exactly it. That is so well said. It doesn't look the same for everybody.
Yeah.
The seduction is different for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's just, you know, for our listeners to apply the concepts, mm-hmm. but the sort of examples might be different.
Mm-hmm. Jeepers, that's a lot of it. Now, I like your term, the energetic
motivator.
Mm-hmm. Really, it is. It's like, so if you don't like the word spirit, you can use the word energy like we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
This energy, you can literally see it take over people. But this is why that comment of you don't know how to deal with something until you know what you're dealing with. And when you realize that it's not this wonderful human being sitting in front of you, but this almost like dark force. Now, I've also seen it rage to some degree. So you have to be very careful with it.
Yeah, a topic for another day is narcissistic rage, mm-hmm. right? And how that can formulate and mm-hmm. how to strategize around
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because this spirit will use any form of influence or manipulation it can.
Yeah, and if one doesn't work, they can move another, which is what keeps you on your toes.
Ben, this topic feels heavy. I would say it kind of floats, and sometimes you can even feel it if you're really paying attention
mm-hmm.
to it.
People also, you might notice if you are somebody who is highly empathetic and you are interacting with somebody who's sort of moving towards that spirit of narcissism, that they may actually move away from you if they know they're being seen. And that's an energetic exchange. That's not necessarily happening in the conversation or in action,
mm-hmm.
but just in an energetic exchange. They'll move away from you because
mm.
they know that you know
mm.
that you're onto them,
mm-hmm.
right? So you might notice that as well.
So now here's the thing. The reason they move away is because we are way more powerful than that spirit when we know what we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So when you bring your true soul to the table in relation to that, when you bring truth to the table, when you bring love to the table, in response to it, it does. It just wants to flee.
Yeah.
It knows it. It has no power and no dominion in that space.
I think the reason it feels so heavy is that we're not really talking. It's not black and white, and it's not. This conversation isn't. I don't know. Clinical's not the right word, but it is more spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a bigger thing at play here that is beyond what you can really rationally explain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's the value of it, though.
Yeah.
Is that people have to know there's this, it's bigger, the motivation of it is bigger than what you're going to see in terms of conversation, event, action,
mm-hmm.
right? All of that will happen as well, but the motivator is what we're looking at.
At least for me, carrying this mindset is very, very helpful because you can identify when you're dealing with a real human being.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're dealing with something other, and when you're dealing with something other, yeah, you have to deal with it in an entirely different way.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is what is so tricky to be in love with or in a close relationship to, where you see that quality of them and you can just love them and they're actually receiving of that love, versus when that spirit, when they're under the influence, they will literally take what you're sharing with each other and they will literally use that
yeah.
to destroy you.
Yeah, the threat, just to say it just a little bit differently too, the threat from the spirit of narcissism is that you are responding to and looking at and relating to who they've taken over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so they are not going to deal with that business because
mm-hmm.
you are a direct threat to them.
Mm-hmm.
I think just explaining that, because again, like that's what I find is so misleading, is that you can sense that true essence of that person, but that they can be switched so quickly. And I think explaining that, it's sort of, you can't really explain it except to
mm-hmm.
say that this is something that happens and you're dealing with a spirit, like the spirit of narcissism, and labeling it helps. I would be curious if there's people who have stories of noticing this.
Yeah, I think this is actually really great to test for people, just to, like, you know, we're not bringing it up to the narcissist, but just for yourself to see if you can filter it through this new information.
Yeah,
what,
like,
the experience is for you.
What people notice, like, are you noticing, like, a change in the pupils, a change in the eyes, a change in facial expression,
mm-hmm.
a change in the tone of voice,
oh, yeah.
a change in body language,
yeah.
can you identify the difference between that person when they're under the spirit of narcissism versus when they're not?
Mm-hmm.
That would be really interesting information and just a tool for people to start noticing and categorizing as well.
And one really practical, easy way to do this is to think about it being under the influence.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, right, if you have an alcoholic and they get off alcohol and they're clean for a long time and they're more themselves and they're a wonderful person when they aren't under the influence, that's a really good indicator because their tone is a certain way, their reasonableness, all of that type of stuff functions in a certain way. But if they start drinking again, and if they really put themselves under the influence of the alcohol, well, we've all seen how people can change under the influence of alcohol. So this is really the exact same thing. Like you're saying, it can be that obvious when you're watching for it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, there's a very close relationship between substance use and narcissism. It can so easily open them up. So get a narcissist a few drinks in, even if they aren't drunk from alcohol, you'll see that all of a sudden they're now under the influence of the spirit in a major way. So they don't have to be stumbling around or slurring their words, but they become a totally different person. And one thing with it too, if you really pay attention to yourself, your body will give you indicators.
Absolutely.
As to what you're dealing with. So, you know, if you're starting to feel a pit in your stomach or the tension around your chest or
shoulders.
Shoulders. Again, it's different for everybody. When you start to realize what your cues are in relation to that spirit, you can then know so much sooner what you're dealing with and what to do in that situation.
And it may not just be physical too. You may have actually... like a really clear emotional shift when you're starting to see that come up in somebody. So there's a lot of things you may want to look for. So it's just that curiosity that we talk about a lot as well, that curiosity for self, right? What is my experience and now why?
That's so good. As we always say, you don't know how to deal with something until you know what you're dealing with. We'll see you next time.
Subscribe to our podcast channel and YouTube channel and share these videos with your friends and family.
And please join our online community at neonarcissism.tv.